Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. So we look at something in preparation for the Lord's table here this morning. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. As a preface to it, you know, one of the most important teachings in the Bible is that of the kingdom of God. You can't miss it. The kingdom of God is throughout Scripture an extremely important point. If you don't understand the concept of the kingdom of God, I urge you to get some education on it. If you don't understand it, you're missing one of the huge stories of Scripture. And you'll be tempted to not interpret a whole lot of the Bible because you don't understand that. There is this thing in the Bible called the kingdom of God. It is, in the first instance, the whole race as bearing His image. Every human being that's born, that baby in your womb, is made in the image of God. And they are, by rights, His children, His crown rights servants, His citizens. When they're born into the world, they're walking in His place. And He is the King of the whole universe. He's the Creator. There are, in fact, in addition to that, sectors of the human race that He has appointed in grace to be a general ordering feature of all of human experience. Within His kingdom, there is the family. The family is the place He ordained the children to be born into and to be the shaper of the child. Before it ever gets to the school system, which is of recent, you know, creation, you understand that. The family, for the preceding 7,000 or 8,000 years of human experience, was the place the child got their education. And God still holds the family accountable for that, no matter where they are. And then the state above that, the government, is one of those general organizing principles of the wider idea of God's kingdom as the Creator. He's given to governance in Tallahassee and Washington and Moscow, indeed to every place you could characterize as a governing function, a responsibility to Jesus Christ. Revelation 1:5 describes Jesus as the ruler of the kings of the earth. And throughout the Bible, you find these passages where God's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. He's talking to Darius. He sends people to guide them. He calls the Babylonians His instruments that He uses. And then finally, in the wider frame of things, there is specifically, in the midst of all the race, the creation, there are this group called His covenant people. People who literally worship Him in spirit and in truth, who have been redeemed by Him, saved by Him, and drawn to Himself, taken away from the penalty they deserve for their sin and death, and they belong to Him. They are His people. And it is in this last area, with the covenant people themselves, that the kingship of God over the universe takes on a special, very special significance all around the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church is that place in the wider kingdom where the kingdom blooms if things are going well. The church is the thing in the midst of the wider civilization of human beings where you see what love is supposed to be, where you see what care for people is supposed to be, where you see where honor for the image of God is supposed to be. Life itself is honored. And whatever may be known about the Creator's will for His people in His revealed Word is found to, again, bloom in the lives and the structures of the organization called the church. And all I've done to you right there is simply, I've shorthanded what is the teaching of Scripture on this. The kingdom of God, widely across the world, specifically in the midst of this thing called His church. The passage this morning comes to a group of people in the first century, within 40 years of our Lord Jesus' death and resurrection and ascension and back to heaven, a time wherein, as these words were written, He is no longer walking around on the earth. He's seated at the throne of God in this unseen place called heaven, governing the universe and specifically governing His people. And in this passage, we find the Apostle Paul talking to them. And remember, they're in a pagan culture. Remember, Colossae is a Greco-Roman city in Turkey, what is now Turkey. It's not in Palestine. These are people that come to work every day worshiping the gods of the Greek or the Roman pantheon or some local religion derived from the Hittite culture that had been there several a thousand or more years prior to that, or something left over when the Egyptians or the Scythians or somebody swept through 100 years and killed everybody and left a religion that was associated with their sovereignty in that place. So when you got up and went to work at Colossae, you sat down at your cubicle next to somebody that was probably worshiping dirt, trees, money, sex, various gross things, and a seat of all kinds of weird Greek philosophy. The business of what's called, some of you educated people, the college folks, the Gnostic thing is starting to bubble around now. It's not fully developed at all. That's left for several hundred years. But here are these people, and Paul is writing this letter to them. And let's hear what he has to say, how he addressed these folks, folks just like you and me, as he talked to them about where they were. What is reality like? Chapter 1, get there, and we'll start reading in verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, he's in Rome, by the way, a prisoner in Rome at this point, in shackles, in a jail cell. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Father, help us as we come to the table thinking about three things from this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice that this kingdom we were talking about in verses 12 through 14, whose kingdom is it? Verse 12. giving thanks, thank you, to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. God the Father has done something with you and put you in his Son's kingdom. Who's the more powerful person here? The Father. God the Father is the more important person. In the economy of the Godhead, the Father has the big plan of redemption. The Son agrees to die for those he was meant to die for. And the Holy Spirit implements and carries in history all the things of grace that create in the middle of the pagan civilizations, one non-pagan civilization called his people, his kingdom, his church. Now the church has been odd. I mean, there was Adam and Eve's family. Lot, seed of the woman, constitute the family of God, the kingdom, the covenant people, Abraham and his sons and the tribes of Israel, the nation of Israel with a king to whom is promised another king in the future who will care for these covenant people in a different kind of way. And then Jesus walks into the world, and on the day of Pentecost, right in the middle of what used to be the environment of the covenant people, Jerusalem, with a temple and a boundary lines, the Holy Spirit falls not upon the Holy of Holies, which he had vacated many years before, but upon the people of God who are the church of his Son. And then what builds from that moment till today is what ends up in this room. And that room over there. And about 6 or 8 or 10 that I know well enough to say it's there. Any place where the Father has brought his people for his care. So notice the word, verse 13. He rescued them from something. Right? And having rescued them, you must picture yourself as held up in his arm. He ran into the burning building of your sin and death and took you under both arms and ran out in the streets. And you know what he did with you? He didn't just drop you on the street. He took you someplace. And it says he put you in a place where there is no more fire and no more judgment and death. And where is that place? It's called the kingdom of the Son he loves. You are now, Paul says it again in numerous other places, right? You're in Jesus' kingdom. This guy that looks out from his heavenly throne and governs all the other kings also has something to say to his elders in his churches where his kingdom is. Some of those elders who are ministers of the word, pastors, because they're pastors and elders in his kingdom where he brought you. I mean, I got saved in a place called Greenhouse in Fort Lauderdale, but that wasn't where he wanted me. That's where he wanted me saved. That's where the gospel found me. But he picked me up from that place and he stuck me right in the middle of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. That was the place where, remember I said about the kingdom, has this visible presence. The sacraments are offered there. They weren't offered at the greenhouse. They didn't baptize anybody at the greenhouse. They didn't constitute the governance of Jesus Christ on this earth of his people. We stick to the idea of people getting saved out here someplace and you not caring whether they go to church or not is an aberration. He wants his people in his kingdom. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Well, that's what it says here. No, bro. Well, you notice the way Paul's thinking goes here? After saying that in verses 12 to 16, and then being lost in verse 15 to 17 about the king, you see, Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. He's telling who this king is, whose kingdom you now live. He takes a break here and goes into who the king is. And then in verse 18, and he says, this guy who is in charge of this kingdom, is the head of the body, the church. In Paul's eyes, you can't talk about the kingdom without understanding that in our day, the kingdom of God is His church. And the one who is the image of the invisible God, who created all things, everything on earth, thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him. For He is before all things and in all things. And He, this one, is the head of His body, the church. So that, and He holds that last one off. There at the end of verse, He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. You were, if you're born again, you're born again. You've been snatched away from death. But somebody else was there first. It was Jesus. They killed Him on the cross. But He was raised from the dead and He ascended forever. He's the firstborn of the dead. Before all things, and He is the firstborn from the dead. And so that, in everything He might have the supremacy. You cannot say, and I cannot say anything bigger to our King than I obey You, I love You. You've been everywhere I would ever want to be. You were tortured, your vocation cost You your life. You were beaten and bruised, and all these things that He did, rejected. He's been wherever we are today ahead of us. And He is now the head of the church. And then He returns only then to verse 19. For God is pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. The one who is the head of this church, Paul takes this same theory and he pulls it out in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The body was constructed, you know, as a head, fingers, you're all part of one body. This one who's the head of the body, all the fullness of everything He expects in everyone else dwells in Him. And He rules as one, the last part of the 20th verse there. He has made peace through His blood shed on the cross. We have a King who has not a bag of tricks for us. He has one thing that will be the answer to your business problems, your family problems, your inner neuroses, your psychological profile, your relationship issues, your health issues, whatever it is that you want to walk into the King's throne room and say, excuse me, I got a problem. He's going to say, I got the answer. I've robbed death and suffering of the horror of it. Because I took all of that myself when I died on the cross for your sins. I robbed everything going on in your life of its bitterness, of its misery, of your fear. All the things that you go through in life. Where, O death, is your sting, Paul says in another place. Where, O grave, is your victory? The power of sin is the law. This thing. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Our King is there to govern His church, and He governs it perfectly. It's the first point I skipped on. The first point, it's the Father's kingdom, but it's the Son's kingdom. He's given it into His hands. And it is redemption's kingdom. Because the King is our Redeemer. And His governance is designed to apply everything He did for us to everything that is true of our lives, wherever it is and whenever it is. Someone who has a life for God outside of the church, do you see what that means? If there's a big spotlight in the center of a stage and the actor has been told that here's what I want you to do, the director tells him, when you come in stage left, whichever that is, when you come in on that part of the stage and walk out of the curtain, what I want you to do, I want you to go to the light on the stage and stand there, and that's where I want you to say something. And the guy or the girl is over here in the curtain, and they go, psst, you're on. And they just step out into the pier and try and do their thing. What's wrong? They're in the wrong place. They may be in a place where they can do what they're doing. Yeah, they can say their part. But everybody in the audience is going to be going, you know, what's going on here, you know? We're living in a day right now, one of the casualties of the 20th century is that the church, which was meant by God to be this center, big spotlight in the world, whatever corner it's on, is not where people think of getting together for God, doing things for God. They don't do that. They're off doing whatever they want to in whatever frame, whatever place they want to. Here's the place where the supremacy of God is established. The church, the head, the kingdom of light. You diss God's church? You don't want to do that. It's crazy. Who needs a church? I can worship God at home. Duh, God's everywhere. But you see, sir, you don't understand something. God has placed the church, which the Bible defines. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, if you'd like to see how God defines a church. Is a place, a group of people gathered together to worship Him with elders and deacons and a plan to take over the world. And they're going to do their little part in that. That's a church. Where you can get baptized. Where the Lord's table can be offered to you by elders who are supposed to do that kind of thing. That's a church. So, you're a member of a church? Application? I'm glad. I'm really glad. I'm so glad. I did something online this week, which just a little sharing that I was in a church and what had happened because I was in a church. I had 10 or 15 guys saying, I'm sorry, that never happened to me. Can you describe that to me? And I'm staggered to hear how they got saved at a college and drawn into some big 501c3 church ministry, but they never experienced in any of that what God has reserved for the spotlight, the church. And they'd have no relationship, they have no idea of being in the church. Well, here's the best part about it is, you're sitting here in something that belongs to Jesus. He's the head of it. And it's His kingdom that He's administering in His Father's name. And it's here that the bright light of redemption, of everything associated with the ministries of God's Spirit, are to be shining and drawing people into themselves. Here's the place where God's got His eye. Whoever walks into the light there, I can train him to be a better her, whatever she's going to do, because this is where the light is. It's the kingdom of light. The church is supposed to be that place. The truth about the church is, another way to describe it is, it's God's kingdom of light. Another way to describe it is, it's Christ the King's body. Another way to describe it, there's where everybody who's been born from the dead live. Another way to describe it is, this is the place where Jesus, who is now in the business of reconciling everything in the creation and changing it based on what He's doing, here's the launching platform from which that redemption rocket's going off every Sunday when people walk out of here. The church, the truth about the church is, you can't say kingdom of God without understanding that you're talking about, in specifics, Jesus' church, which is God's kingdom over which He's the head. We come this morning to celebrate the Lord's table. You know why? Picture us walking into the throne room of Jesus and deciding we're going to have a gathering to honor Him. I'll tell you what you better do. You could put a praise band on the stage. You guys could get expert at reading. You could do all that kind of stuff. You could dress right. You know, your hair could be combed just right. But if you come into His throne room intending a community activity that you all do together, He's already told you the one He wants. And it's this one. And that's why it's so important that when you come, you're somebody that believes Him and have come to know Him as your liberating King. And you see in these elements the reminder that your Savior loved you and died for you and rose from the dead, bearing you in his person into heaven, where he sits reigning forever, and will come again one day to receive you, and that kingdom will suddenly, that light, blinding light on the whole stage, will fill the entire earth, burning away all the darkness and ending everything that's sin and death, and leaving only his people, the ones who came to be a part of that kingdom in their lifetimes, and who treated their kingdom attendance and their kingdom work and their kingdom prayers and their kingdom everything, singing and whatever they do, as being one time every week where they're gathered in the presence of the King, that little part of humanity that he governs. And when he sees it, he's delighted. You asked where Jesus sees redemption at work in the world? It's one day every week when those redeemed people gather to worship him. Light there, light there, light there, light there. There's where his kingdom is. And especially when we come around the sacrament of the Lord's tables, we're going to do today. Let's worship the King today in Christ's name. Father, help us. Lord, this is your kingdom. That's why this 4.9 acre piece of property, this is your property. This is your building. These are your chairs. These are your lights. Lord, as we gather now around this table, we come into your throne room here at Coquina Presbyterian Church. Part of the kingdom of light. Part of the body over which Jesus, the great King, our Lord, is head. And in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, making us a temple, being built up with all of our brothers and sisters across the face of this planet into your great kingdom of light. Receive our worship this morning as we come to the table. Speak to us, Lord, by these means about redemption, the forgiveness of sins that we have in the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray these things in his name. Amen.